There seems to be some basic human instinct that makes each of us long for a Savior, someone to save us from the troubles and hardships of life. We see it all throughout history. We see it, for example, in ancient societies where people look to their king or the birth of a new prince as the hope for the well-being of the entire nation. And we see it today in modern America. Every election, especially presidential elections, has a certain tinge of this. No matter who our candidate is, there's always an exaggeration of his qualifications and a downplaying of his faults in the hope that he will somehow bring about a better life for our country. People seem to primordially seek a Messiah. But there is no earthly Messiah. In the end, all fall radically short of our expectations. We see this in a particular way in Judeo-Christian history. 3,000 years ago, the people of Israel were ruled by 12 judges, but they demanded that God give them an earthly king. They wanted to have a king like all their other countries. But God warned them what would happen. He said that any worldly king would wind up disappointing and even oppressing them. And still they persisted, and God gave them King Saul, who wound up disappointing and oppressing them, as did every single earthly king and governor, to a greater or lesser extent, who ruled over Israel for the next 1,000 years. Still, Israel clung to the hope that a great Messiah king would come to take away all their worldly problems. The thing is, when the true Messiah king finally did come, he told them, much to their dismay, "My kingdom is not of this world." He did not come to free us from the oppression of unjust worldly kings or establish a perfect earthly government, but to save us from the most basic and worst kind of oppression, the oppression of sin and its terrible consequences. And make no mistake, sin is the great oppressor of mankind. The sins of others, the sins the devil tempts us to, and our own personal sins and temptations to sin. Remember what St. Paul writes. He says, "I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do, making me captive to the law of sin. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do." Think how sin takes charge of so much in your lives, so that no matter how hard you try, you wind up doing the evil you do not want. For example, you begin by simply wanting to earn a decent living to support your family, but then you wind up being trapped in greed and envy, dedicated not to your family, but to keeping up with the family next door. Or maybe you really want to be a kind and helpful son or daughter, but you wind up constantly fighting with your parents. Sin. You don't want to do it, but like a prison, you just can't seem to get out of it. But the thing is, you can get out of it. That's what Christ the King came to vanquish, and the purpose of his kingdom. Not a kingdom of the world, but a kingdom in the world, in which we are free from sin, freed by his grace and by his truth. Now, to modern Americans living in a democratic republic, this seems somewhat ironic. A king who gives true freedom. After all, we fought a war 240 years ago to free us from the tyranny of kings. But this king is different from earthly kings and different from all presidents, prime ministers, or governors. This is a king who comes to us first and foremost as a servant. As he says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." And his greatest service to us is to give us a share in his own kingship. In our baptism, he gave us a share in his own life. We were sort of grafted onto his own body, to share in everything he has. So we share in his sonship to the Father. We share in his power his grace, we share in his eternal life, and we share in his kingship. And with the power of his kingship in us, his grace, we are no longer slaves of sin or oppressed by the devil. We are truly free not to do whatever we feel like, but to become who we were created to be from the beginning. Creatures created in the image of Christ the King, to freely serve and to love God and our neighbor. So as St. Paul says elsewhere, you were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love be servants of one another. Imagine if we could truly accept this freedom. If we could were truly free from greed, avarice, lust, pride, hate, sloth, gluttony. If we were truly free from selfishness and instead selflessly live like servants as Christ the King. Imagine for a moment how great life would be if the whole world would accept this freedom. Life would be wonderful. But now remember how life usually is, as men continue to embrace their slavery to sin. And so in today's gospel, Jesus reminds us that when he comes in his glory, all the nations will be assembled before him. And it says that he will say to those who have accepted the gift of freedom and lived as true servants, he will say, "Come, inherit the kingdom. For I was hungry and you gave me food, thirsty and you gave me drink." He will say to those who rejected the kingship and freely chose to remain slaves of selfishness, he will say, "Depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil, for I was hungry, and you gave me no food, thirsty, and you gave me no drink." This is what happens when we live in the freedom of Christ the King, or when we reject it. We either share in his joy, or we share in the devil's torment. But that text from the gospel also reminds us of something else. Not only is Christ our only Savior, but also the personal freedom Christ brings us also brings personal responsibility to serve our neighbor. So not only should we never look to earthly kings or institutions to be our Savior and solve all our problems, but we should also hesitate to delegate our own responsibility to serve our neighbor to anyone else, including the government or organizations. Now, the thing is, governments serve a hugely important role in helping those in need, as do so many worthwhile charitable organizations, like the church. But think how easy it is to see a problem and say, well, the government or Catholic Charities or the parish can take care of that. Granted, sometimes they have greater resources than we do individually, but not always. And every time we delegate away our service, we run the risk of rejecting a personal invitation from Christ to personally love our neighbor as we should. Also, we can wind up delegating our responsibilities to people who may not be acting in true service and love, especially with our bureaucracies that can easily be manipulated by individuals with bad intentions. And it also leads us to the problem of delegating through monetary support. While it's necessary and good to use our earthly treasures to help good causes, including the parish, Jesus says, "I was in prison and you visited me." Money can never replace person-to-person acts of love. And giving money can lead to still other problems. For example, some say paying taxes is an act of loving your neighbor. So many people think that they've fulfilled their duty to love by paying their taxes. But it's not love if someone says, "Pay or you go to jail." Love is something freely given, not something coerced. And beyond all this, remember that the greatest needs man has are not physical or financial, but spiritual. Governments can't do much at all to meet these kinds of needs. And while some organizations like Parishes, for example, rightly exist for this purpose. There is no replacement for personal action, your action. You are a king. Take responsibility. How many people hunger for Christ but do not know him? You feed them by teaching them. How many are imprisoned by their sinful lifestyles and long for Christ to come to them? You bring him to them. How many are plagued by sickness of sin? Let the great physician, Jesus Christ, use you to pour his healing grace on them. It is clear that mankind not only longs for but needs a Savior. But it is equally clear that no earthly person or thing, not a president or a government or a charitable organization, can truly bring the salvation we long for. Freedom from sin and freedom to love. As we continue now with this Holy Mass, let us pray for all those who lead us in the world. But let us also ask the good Lord to fix in our hearts and minds that he alone is our Savior and our hope. Praise be Jesus Christ, the King.